All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Oh, call back the sinner and wake up the saint, and let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon.
Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart
justice, and all will be new, and your name forever is faithful and true. Jesus is good, oh, he's coming soon. Yes, the roar of the trumpet, it will ring aloud, and like a rolling thunder, he'll come in a cloud. Jesus is coming, yes, he's coming soon. And like a bride is waiting for her groom, we'll be a church, we'll be ready for you.
So we wait.
Yes, we wait.
Spirit and the bride cries out to the Lord, come quickly. I'm concerned about people in the church that go to church that say they love the Lord, but they just don't want the Lord to come back. Well, we have lost family members. Yes, we all have lost family members and lost loved ones. But there's something inside of me that's groaning. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. This time we're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church, age 5 to 12. And while they're going out, I want to say, in addition to what I said about missions just a moment ago, not only do we want to get a hold of that preacher, I tell you, I'm concerned about everybody in the mission field, but our focal point is two major areas, that preacher and them kids. Let me explain briefly. If you can touch that preacher and help that preacher, then he'll help his people. He'll preach to his people. He'll have that church. God will use him as an under-shepherd, under the great shepherd, to help his people. And then we have found in those areas, if you can help those children, if you can get to them kids before the gang members get to those kids, then you can change the course of their life. And that's what we're interested in. I dream about it. I'm passionate about it, not just in Central America, but here in the United States. We have a job to do, and we don't have very much time. What the church does, we must do quickly as we're led by the Spirit of God, but we can't play games in these last days. Jesus is coming soon, and I just want to be a part of that great work. I want to stand before the Lord, and I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Don't you want to hear that? Brother Clint Denon said, he said, the Lord, when we stand before him, he's either going to say, well done, or why? He's going to do one of the two. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. If you're not on our text list and you would like to be on our text list to send out church announcements, please give me your number on your piece of paper, your full name and your phone number, and I'll put you into the system for the church. We send out announcements, all the activities going on, special services, conferences, missions projects. So if you'd like to be on that and you're not receiving a text, please give me your name and your number, and I'll put you on there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. I want us to focus in on this area where he says, let us lay aside every weight. Father, we ask you to come in the midst of this congregation this morning. I'm asking you, Lord, take the living word of God that's already alive, and let it become alive to our hearts. I pray for that anointing that makes preaching effective. Let it rest upon these lips of clay this morning. I'm asking you, Lord, that you'd speak to every heart and every life. I pray, Lord, that you would do a deep work in our life. Lord, I know that the Word of God is never changing. It's living. And Lord, I know that it can do something in us that hasn't been done in a while, or maybe never has been done before. I pray that you would do your perfect work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we thank you in advance, and we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. He says, Paul writes, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I'm going to preach to you on the simple thought, unload it. One of the greatest problems with too many Christians in this hour is what I call a complete and total overload. We are overloaded. We are overworked, underpaid. We have too many things on our plate. Can I get a witness in this house this morning? It just seems like there's not enough hours in the day to do everything that we want to do, or everything it seems as if we are required to do. Here's the facts of the matter. We have too many things on us in this hour. In America, we are worse than anybody in the known world. We try to do everything. We stack pack our schedule. We try to cram everything. We work 2-3 jobs saving and trying to keep up with the Joneses. Amen. Well, I can tell you, God wants us to pull aside, and he wants us to reprioritize again and unload some things that we don't need on our plate. Listen, you can only do one thing at a time, and if you're doing the thing you're not supposed to do, you can't do the thing you are supposed to do. Amen. That's a divine revelation right there. God wants to use us in this last hour, and God wants us to be about the Father's business, and it is not going to take place unless we learn to prioritize. I want to make this unmistakably clear from the beginning of this message so there's no confusion in a certain category, because what I'm about to say is going to seem like it's two conflicting thoughts together. I'm talking about unloading some things because we load ourselves up. But the Bible says in Galatians 6:2 that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You say, well, Brother Matt, in one sentence it seems as if we're to lay aside every weight. And then Paul comes back in Galatians and says, bear ye one another's burdens. Let me just say it like this. God has a certain amount that every one of us can bear. Maybe you can bear more than I, or maybe I can bear more than you. But listen, God has a certain amount, but he doesn't get us to capacity at maximum level. Why? Because he wants us to bear somebody else's burdens, and he wants to take on somebody else's load and so fulfill the law of Christ. But we can't, because we're so well overloaded with my four and no more, my business, my job, everything that I've got to do. It's time that we let go of some things, lay some weights aside, unload the heavy wagon so you can move down the path a little bit better and do the will of God. You'll never be satisfied in this life until you're about the Father's business. You'll never be fulfilled until you take on the burden of God. You'll never really reach what God's called you to reach out to and do what he's called you to do until you unload some things and allow him to begin to direct your life. We put so many things on self that we can't fulfill the law of Christ. It's a tragedy today. There's so many needs around us. We have neighbors that have needs. We have family members who have needs. We have the homeless. We have even church people who have needs. But we're so stacked. It's time to release some things so we can begin to do what God's called us to do. Many times people will say this, Brother Matt, I've asked God to take it away, and he just won't do it. No, God said for you to take it away. God said for you to lay aside every weight in every sin that does so easily beset you. I've heard them say, I've asked God to help me in this area, and I've asked God to deliver me from alcohol. Well, listen, God didn't make you drive to the liquor store or go down the alcohol aisle. No, he gives you the power. He gives you the grace. What is grace defined? It is God's unmerited favor. Praise God. But grace is God's ability, his power to do what I can't do in myself. I am saved by grace. I couldn't save myself, and I couldn't deliver myself from sin. But whenever I make up my mind, I'm going to walk right before God. I'm going to repent. The grace of God empowers me to do what I can't do in myself. It doesn't matter if it's sin. It doesn't matter if it's laying aside weights. God will empower you to do whatever he's called you to do. You say, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. I can't went out the window on the day of Pentecost. For I can do all things through Christ. And I can tell you, the power of the Spirit is accessible for every child of God to do whatever God has asked us to do. The scripture says to lay aside every weight. God would not tell us to lay aside something we are not capable of laying aside. Listen to me. We put too many things on ourselves. It's not that we cannot. It's that we will not. We have established habits and imposed things upon ourselves that have nothing to do with the gospel, and we need to stop blaming our God for it. Amen. Listen, he said, lay it aside. Make up your mind. Prioritize some things. Listen, Jesus was the busiest man that you've ever seen in your life. He was all about the Father's business. Hebrews or Acts chapter 10 and 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Whenever he saw sick men, he healed them. When he saw blinded eyes, he went and opened the blinded eyes. When Jesus saw dead men, he raised them from the dead. But he didn't get so busy being about the Father's business that he neglected his intimacy with the Father. So many times in the church, we get so busy. Praise God for Martha's and busy men and women who will be about the Father's business. But I'm going to tell you, nothing is a substitute for sitting at the feet of the Master. Nothing is a substitute for worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Listen, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's something down in the deep of your soul that longs to worship Almighty God, and you'll never be satisfied with the things of this world. Your spirit must make contact with his spirit. Amen. That's where true satisfaction comes from. Not the opposite sex, not money, not possessions, not power, but Christ and Christ alone. I want to know him, and I want to make him known to a lost and a dying world. Do you want him? Do you want to be satisfied? Do you want to be fulfilled? It's not going to be in natural things. It only comes by knowing him and making him known. That is true satisfaction. Jesus, every morning, before the sun came up, he spent time with his Father. He understood the necessity of kingdom work, but yet intimacy with his Father. They go hand in hand. Jesus knew how to say no to certain things. I know people that I won't even ask them to do something because they'll never tell me no. I don't want to take advantage of anybody. Listen, when it comes to the church work, I appreciate the workers in the church, but I'm very careful. I'm very cautious. Now, there are some people out there that's always busy that never have time for God or the church. That's another extreme. But I can tell you, we've got to be very, very careful, and we need to learn to say no to the job. We need to learn to say no to the kids. We need to learn to say no to those other things that get us so encumbered about. Oh, we get all wrapped up, tangled up, and tied up in the things of this world. We don't have time to do the things of God. It's time to unload some things. It's time to lay aside the weight, and it's time to hear the voice of God. I've got a word for somebody in this house. Unload it. You know what it is. Unload it. Well, Brother Matt, where do I start? That's between you and God. Everybody's got to work out their own situation with themselves. But I can tell you today, you better unload it. You better release that thing. Listen, I know you're pressured. God knows you're pressured. But friends, we always have the same choice, pressure or priorities. Every single time. But I feel like I have to do this. No, you don't have to do anything but serve God and pay taxes. Amen. You have to serve God. You have to, amen. I'm going to tell you, there are things that we can release in our lives. We always have the same choice, pressure or priorities. We will never come into a dimension of God's power until you learn how to prioritize and unload. I'm learning it. I haven't mastered the craft of unloading and laying aside every weight, but I'm learning how to do it. I'm learning, not only am I learning how to prioritize and delegate and unload some things, but I'm learning how to not stress about the things that I delegate and release and unload. It's liberating. I just say, Lord, I give it to you. Some of you worry about things until you make yourself sick. It's time to stop worrying. It's time to give it to Almighty God. God knows better than you know. And I can tell you something, He can work it out better than you can anyway. So just give it to God. Lay it on the altar today. Pressure or priorities? I choose priorities. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. What does that mean? If you'll seek God first and put Him first, He'll add the finances. He'll add the physical means. He'll take care of those things that you're so concerned about. That's why you bring your tithe into the church. The tenth of your income belongs to God. That's the first fruits. I've heard it said like this. I've preached it. If you take care of God's business, God will always take care of yours. Amen. I said, if you take care of God's business, He will always take care of yours. Pressure or priorities, it's your choice. The most popular excuse is, I just don't have time. I'm sorry. I was busy Wednesday night taking care of some business. Sunday morning, Sunday night, I'm just busy. I'm busy, preacher. I want to tell you something. If you're too busy to put God first, you're too busy. You ain't properly prioritizing. We can make all the excuses in the world. I'm a busy man, and so are you, a busy man, busy woman. But I can tell you, I'm prioritizing. I'll never lie. If I do, God will convict me, and I'll repent and get it right. I am not going to put the things of this world above my Lord. If I was the pastor or if I was a lay person in this church, I'd be to every house. I'd be to every service. I'd come to the prayer meetings. I'd come to every revival. Why? Because He saved me, and I want to be a part of the body of Christ. He is my everything, and He must be first, number one, in everything that I do and that I am. The most popular excuse, I just don't have time. Yet all of us are given the same number of hours each day, 24 hours, 1,440 minutes to spend each day. We decided how to use those 86,400 seconds each day. And our management of that time makes all the difference. It's just like everybody having $1,000 in here and going to the mall. Well, we'd have a variety of things bought. I mean, I'm really not a shopper. I don't even like to. I do not. That's why I've been wearing polo shirts for the last decade. They say I'm the most consistent man. I wear the same shirts because I don't like to shop. Amen? Can I get a witness, men out there? But we'd all spend it on something different. Every one of us would buy something different. Well, I can tell you something. Because it's a choice. We spend that money on what we like. It's the same thing with time. Listen, we have no excuses. We spend our time, just like money, on the things we love the most. Is it true? Is it not true? I know this is straight preaching, but that's why you come here to Harvest Time Church, because you want straight preaching. Some things must be set aside for later, and some things must be unloaded altogether. Let me say that again. Some things must be set aside for later. Other things must be unloaded altogether. Are there weights and things you've taken upon yourself that are not the burden of the Lord? He wants you to lay them aside in exchange for the power to run the race. Look at what he says in Hebrews 12:1. We're compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses. This is our text. Most Bible theologians believe that this is the children of God, the Christians who have gone on before us. They're almost like it's a picture of an arena, like in Roman times. They're in a coliseum, and we're the ones on the field. We're the ones in the race. Listen, we are running a race, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us. And he said, wherefore we are compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses. That means they're up high looking low, and they're watching us run the race. I like to imagine my late pastor saying, Matt Gregory, you run. You preach the gospel. You keep praying. You keep standing for righteousness and holiness. I like to think of Brother Taylor cheering me on. And oh, all of those children of God who have gone before us. He said, but you got to lay aside those weights. Listen, it's a picture of a race that's being run. And he's saying, lay something aside. Whenever you're holding on to things in a race, it slows you down. That's why the disc jockeys are like, in horse races, are like 5'3". They're little bitty guys. Why? So that horse can run at full speed. So he can run without very little weight on his back. Listen, God wants us to run with very little weight on our backs. You know what I have realized? You know, we think we got to have a lot of things. We have our house and we have our attic that's full of stuff. And then you got your little shop in the back that's filled with things. When I go on vacation, I realize I didn't need all that stuff anyway. I come back and I needed a custodian just to babysit my stuff. I'm realizing I don't have to have near as much as I thought I had to have. Oh, it wouldn't hurt somebody to lay aside some things. Oh, whatever you got to do, even if it just helps you mentally get rid of some things. We are so encumbered about with stuff. We got a stuffititis type of a mentality. I got to have more. I'm not satisfied with what I have. Just one more. Those of you that like to collect guns like I do, we think all I need is just one more gun. Stuffititis. Listen, it's time to lay aside some things. If it's a weight, lay it aside. If you feel worn down and short-circuited like a battery that runs dry, then try the power that comes with unloading. Do you hear me? I said, if you feel like a short-circuited battery that runs dry, unload some things. Set your priorities and let Him determine your load. Not you, but the Lord. Remember, Christ's yoke is easy, and His burden is light. Christ's yoke is easy. His burden is light. The bottom line is the government is on His shoulders, not on the shoulders of your critics or would-be slave drivers. Because people will do to you what you allow them to do to you. There's some people in this church that are so giving, and people that are moochers, that want to use people, they spot them out. They'll call them out, always wanting them to do something for them. Well, how about you do something for somebody else every once in a while? Huh? Listen to me. Listen, we don't need to be driven by people's opinions, your critics. What you need to do is love people with all your heart, your mind. Listen, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But your job is not to please man, but it is to please Almighty God. Please God before you please man. You know, we all have a tendency, I don't know about you, but I've always had a weakness of wanting to be a people pleaser. I love people, man. I just love people. I want to help people, please them. But listen, I have been liberated of caring too much about what men think and not God. Another point I must make is much of the excess weight we place on our souls come from wrong thinking. This is one of the enemy's strongholds. Negative thinking is the byproduct. He wants you overburdened about things you cannot change. That is why the Bible instructs us to bring every thought into captivity. Listen to me. Unloading some things. We got to unload some thoughts. I can't. God would have never told you to do it if you couldn't. But I can't. It just happens, and I can't stop. I've talked to drug addicts. I've talked to alcoholics. I've talked to those who struggle with fear and anxiety and all these other things. When they say I can't, I look at them and say, listen, I don't care what you say. That's not true. My Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't you ever say you can again, because God will empower you to do it. You can arrest those thoughts, every single one of them, and cast them down and immediately fill your mind with the thoughts of God. I'm telling you, God will give you power to do it. And after you do it, there's a joy and a peace and a tranquility that will fill your heart. It's hard to unload a problem and look to God when you believe you have no power to change it. Let God have it anyway. It is only the only way you can discover the power of unloading. This is something I've learned to do with people in the ministry. Have you ever noticed that people, everything is so urgent with everybody? It's something, it just seems like there's an urgency. A text message. I don't respond immediately to every text message I get. Sometimes I have to go back and go, oh no, I didn't respond to this one. Because I'm meeting with this person and that person, and there was a time where I was like, oh no, if I don't respond in 3 or 4 minutes, this person's going to think I'm mad at them. If I haven't responded, I promise you, it was because it was overlooked. I promise you that. It wasn't because I'm mad at you. But listen, we everything's so urgent. We got to do everything right now. We got to make that phone call. We got to make that we got to respond to that email or that text message. Listen, everything seems so urgent in the new millennium. You rush to get an urgent phone call. You break records to deliver urgent responses. No matter what is said over the phone or comes across your desk, in any form, it's always urgent, 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 urgent. If the church has an enemy in the typical local church today, it is one major enemy called hurry. No matter how much of a high-powered, holy hustle, rush you find yourself in, the book still says this in Isaiah 40 and 31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings of eagles. Come on, church. I'm telling you, this is another source of secret power, waiting on the Lord. God only promises to renew the waiters, not the urgent. I got to do this now. Hey, this ain't in the Bible, but Grandpa used to say, haste makes waste. It makes sense. I'm telling you, haste makes waste. We jump, we run, we go. We feel like we got to. Listen, haste and hurry has robbed more prayer meetings, more Bible time, more opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're on a time crunch. Somebody's going to meet us at our place of employment, our business. The job is calling our name. And listen, especially if you're a type A person like me, there's a constant pull on you. You want to get her done, get something else done. Listen to me, I'm as guilty as anyone else in this house. But listen, God's only promise is to renew the waiters, those who wait upon the Lord, the people who have learned to lay aside and unload other things so they can wait on God. Learn to wait on God until He hears and answers you. Unload it and wait on the Lord. Think about all the baggage we carry around every day. Ask yourself, is this baggage necessary? Is it? Is it really necessary? Now listen, please don't think I'm scolding anyone in this house, but there are things we carry around that are not sinful. They're not something that would send us to hell. But we carry baggage around and we hold on to things that we just need to let go of. It may be legitimate, that baggage. It may, yes, it's legitimate, but it's still a weight nonetheless. Schedules have become our slave drivers and we have become must-do addicts. Am I preaching to somebody in this house? We do this. Why? Why do we do this? There's a pull from this world. Why? Because we're in a hurry. We do this because we want to take on more than what God's called us to take on. Why? Do you ask yourself this important question? You need to ask yourself, I need to ask myself, can God interrupt my schedule anytime He wants to interrupt my schedule? Has God told you to witness to somebody and then you were on a journey and you said, well, Lord, I would, but. Can you imagine that just for a moment? Well, what about the time where the Lord was wooing you out of that bed when the covers were calling your name and, oh, they whispered it, oh, so softly and sweetly. on a cold winter night and you were snuggling up beside your spouse and you're always cold and they're like a heated blanket and all of a sudden the Spirit of God's calling you out to go and pray. Have you? Listen, can he interrupt your schedule? Well, I got to get up early in the morning. I can tell you if you'll do what God told you to do, he'll give you a strength that next day like you've never known. What we need to do is learn to listen to his voice, to be sensitive to the power of God's Spirit and allow God to interrupt my schedule. Lord, you can interrupt my schedule anytime you want. If you want to stop me from going one way, I'll go another way. If you want me to be still, I'll be still. Help me, Holy Ghost, to be sensitive to your voice. God, can you interrupt my schedule? What about you? Can you ask that question? Can God interrupt your schedule? Have I made it so impossible for the Almighty to get my attention without triggering a major catastrophe or sending fire down from heaven? Listen, oftentimes, God will try to speak to us. He'll try to deal with us, and we just push him away. He cannot interrupt us. I say it all the time. You can either listen to the still, small voice or the sledgehammer. There are times, because he loves you so much, he cares for your family so much, your eternal destiny so much, that Almighty God will send a catastrophe your way to get your attention. I can tell you, he'll do whatever he has to do because he cares more about the eternal than he does the temporal. You and I, all we care about is tomorrow and today, what's going on next week. But God looks at the big picture. And if God has to afflict you like he did David, I promise you, he will bring a catastrophe your way. Listen, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Don't allow the catastrophe to happen because you won't allow God to intervene in your schedule. In Luke chapter 10 and 38 through 42, the Bible tells a story of Mary and Martha responding to Jesus at their home. I want to read it very quickly, four verses. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Think about that. Bid her that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the part which shall not be taken away from her. We all know the story about Mary and Martha and the issue that was going on in their life and how Martha was the one that was doing all the work. Mary was just sitting there and worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And Martha was bothered. She said, Jesus, I am doing the work of God. I'm serving you. And Martha and Mary's just with her lazy self. I'm paraphrasing. She's always like this. I'm always the one that's doing all the work. Anytime work's going on, you always catch her. Always slipping away. Listen, there are people like that. Let's pray for them. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. This story reveals an important principle at work. Both of them are needed. The Marthas are needed and the Marys are needed. The story reveals this. Mary knew how to minister to the divinity of Christ and she gave it top priority. Martha knew how to minister to his humanity and that was her primary focus. Now, we know that ministering to the deity of Christ and worship him in spirit and in truth was more important. But don't make any mistake about it. They're both important. When both of these ministries, the ministry of Mary and the ministry of Martha, they begin to operate in the same house in a balance, there is power. I'm going to tell you, God wants to move at Harvest Time Church and in every church, but there's got to be a balance of people working and finding their place in the kingdom of God. Everybody's got a job to do. Listen, if everybody backs off and unloads on the church completely, the pastor's wife will have a nervous breakdown. Everybody's called to do something in the kingdom of God. Yes, Mary chose the most important part. But listen, we still need that one that ministers to the natural need. Martha was so encumbered by her focus on ministry in the natural. She was blind to the priority in the spiritual. She made it difficult for the Spirit to interrupt her in the kitchen, serving the Lord's natural needs for the sake of the spiritual. On the other hand, Mary was so heavenly minded that at times she bordered on neglectful. Fact, not fiction. If it had not been for Martha, Mary would have kept Jesus talking all night long and skipped dinner without a meal. Now, again, Jesus said, Martha, Martha. He probably dealt with her that way. He never said something to her prior that she was preparing the food. Listen to this. Jesus did not deal with her in her preparation and in her work until she started getting frustrated at the one that was worshiping at Jesus' feet. Because worship and intimacy is still top priority. But there has to be people who balance this thing between the heavenly minded and the natural work. Forced to choose between the two, the Lord will always choose the one who sits at his feet in adoration and communes with him. He will always put foot washers before food preparers. But he prefers to have both. Somewhere in the middle of Martha's kitchen and Mary's seat of devotion at Jesus' feet, there is a place of divine power. There has to be a balance. Everything in life, there's a balance to everything. Listen, there's Pentecostal churches out there that just one spark, they don't have any preaching. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody that's in the flesh that comes in this church and wants to prophesy or wants to manifest in the flesh and the church, the Pentecostal church cannot tell whether it's the spirit or whether it's the flesh? Let me tell you something. There has to be a balance between the Holy Ghost moving and we want him to move in this house where he could take the whole service and go in a different direction. But don't ever forget about it. There's a reason why the pulpit is placed in the center at the top, because the word of God, oh listen, that shout may make you feel good in the service time, but it's the word anointed by the Holy Ghost that's going to keep you in the darkest hour of temptation and discouragement. We must have both, a balance of the power of God's spirit moving in a way that we're not expecting it, but there must be a power of God's word. Listen, the word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul, the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Somewhere in the middle of Martha's kitchen, in Mary's seat of devotion at Jesus' feet, there's a place of divine power. Don't neglect the work in the church. But don't ever forsake your altar. But there are some things in your personal life that you need to unload. Stop allowing people to pressure you. Stop allowing everyone to pull at you. It's okay to say no. Some of you think that you're backslidden if you tell somebody no. You can say it in a sweet way. I just can't do that. I am so sorry. They may get quiet on you. They may soul up a little bit. Just pray for them. Be sweet to them. But you're going to have to learn to say no. Listen, it is God first, your family, the church. You've got to take care of that business. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of you just need to unload the wagon a little bit. You've got to prioritize. What you need to do is go home. If the Spirit of God's speaking to you right now, go ahead and make a list when you leave this place of some things you're going to let go of. You may have to just go ahead and make a list and then prioritize that list. Oh, come on, church. If you got the money, not everybody has the money to get somebody to clean their house. I mean, whatever you got to do. So what do? We learn to unload. Stop holding on to and carrying around something else that many people hold on to and carry around, and that's past hurts and misunderstandings from people. Unload it. If I could ever recommend a book, and I don't recommend very many books from this, I don't think I've ever recommended a book from this pulpit in 22 years I've been at this church. But if you could get a book on offense, it's called The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. People get offended, they get hurt, misunderstandings, and a lot of times it's just misunderstandings. They think that this brother or sister don't want anything to do with them. They think that they meant to block them, or they don't understand why they're not liking their Facebook post. They don't understand why they didn't respond to their text message. And all of a sudden, they've created this scenario that they're enemies, and maybe they left the church, and they've been mad at that person for 8 years now, and the whole time that person got their phone turned off because they lost their job. I mean, things... offenses, maybe it's legitimate hurt. Maybe it's something someone did to you. Unload it. Forget it. Let it go. Let it go. There are things in life that you must simply choose to forget. It is easier to deal with a man who has a poor memory than a man who has a poor forgetter. Thank God that I'm not very smart and that I don't have a good memory. Some people will say, man, you got an awesome memory. No, I have a selective memory. I choose to forget a lot of things. I really choose to forget offenses with the help and the grace of God. Why? Because unforgiveness, holding on to past hurts, is just like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It makes no sense. It only does you damage. It only brings harm to you. The problem is we need to get our forgetter broken and unload some things. I'm about to close. There are typically two kinds of weights we find on our shoulders. Number one, the weight that comes through life circumstances and other people. You can't do anything about this. Can someone come to the piano? The first weight is that comes through life circumstances and other people. They become weights, and they become things that you're loaded up on. There's nothing you can do about that. The second thing that we oftentimes find on our shoulders is the weight we pile on ourselves. We pile so much on ourselves. I'm as guilty as anybody of piling more and more and more. I am learning the art of delegation and trusting. Some things we can change and some things we can't. Do you hear me? I want you to hear me. Listen closely. Some things we can change and some things we can't. We need to figure out what we can change and change it. Then we need to figure out what we can't change and give it completely to God. Can we stand? This week I talked to somebody at another church that was going through a great trial. And they said one thing that helped was getting things pulled off of them and downsizing. But after they did all of that, went through that whole process of unloading, they still had a problem. It was something they had gone through in the last 8-9 months, a great trial. And as they looked past over the 4 years of their life, the 4 years was wasted time, and they had so many things had been neglected and so many things had been undone, and they couldn't go back. And this person said, Brother Matt, after I unloaded everything, I still wasn't completely whole. I said, well, what did you do? And they said, I just went and gave it to God. Isn't that wonderful? I just gave it to God. Just released it. And here's what I said. Wow. Wow. What a revelation. Give it to God. Just give it to God. I've had to do this many times in ministry. Because in ministry, we are pulled in so many directions. preachers have meetings, they want you to come. They have youth conferences, they come to yours, but if you don't come to theirs, they're like, I came to yours. Well, I've got 200 preachers in my phone. I mean, there's conferences all over the place. You do what you can, and you just give it to God. I can't do everything for everybody. I used to try that. Brother Duke Downs came here 6 or 7 years ago, and he just seen the church and what the church was doing, and he said, Brother Matt, you're trying to do everything for everybody in this church. He said, you're not going to last in ministry. He's the wisest man in ministry I know today that's living. I love and honor Brother Duke Downs. Brother Clint Denning was his direct mentor. He said he was like a father to me. I was like a son to him. He says, if you don't stop doing what you're doing right now, you're going to get burnt out and you're going to resign that church. He said, you better unload some things. I said, well, this is how I was trained in ministry. He said, it's not the same church you were trained in. He said, you better change things now and get it right so you can last and stand the test of time. I want to say the same thing to you mamas and daddies out there, that you need to figure some things out. Don't neglect the church. You can't do everything in the church, but don't leave your post in the church. Definitely don't leave that altar. But you're going to have to figure out some things that you're going to have to say no to. You're going to have to release some things. You're going to let some things go. You know, my wife is a good combination of Mary and Martha. She's a worshiper. She's a worker. Hardest worker I know. She is. And I'll tell you, the last several months, as I see it piling up on her, here's what I've had to do as a husband, as a pastor. I said, hey, we're fixing to get you out of this, let go of this. Matter of fact, we've already got somebody to take her place in the child care center, and I'm just giving her, I'm pulling things off. I look at our staff here, and I'm like, is this tyranny? Whether you like it or not, we're fixing to downsize you a little bit. She's like, I said, you got a husband and you got children. We're fixing to downsize you a little bit, give you a little bit of time. Are you with me? I'm not saying leave your post. Don't leave your post. But you better figure some things out. I've got to figure some things out. Because Mary and Martha, they're a dynamic duo. But they got to work together, and they got to strengthen one another, and they've got to help one another to become a little bit more like each other. I know the Spirit of God's dealing with you today because you've stacked, and at the end of the day, you're like, man, where did the day go? What have I done? What you should have done was spend time in prayer and the Word first so Satan couldn't rob you. I have learned that if you don't do it in the morning time, Satan, he is a thief. He's the father of all lies. He's been a thief from the beginning. He's been a murderer from the beginning. He will steal my Bible in prayer time if I don't do it at that house in the morning time. He'll steal it from me. I'll do it this afternoon. No, you're not going to do it this afternoon. You know that, and I know that. How many times have you told yourself, I'll do it tonight when I get home? You may have done it a couple times. How often does that work? I know me. You know you. It's time to unload it. What is it? Anything that's pulling you down. You can't quit your job. Don't quit your day job. Man don't work. Don't let him eat. If a man doesn't provide for his house, he's worse than an infidel and denied faith. There's a balance to everything. Some of us are workaholics. Unload it and get your priorities right. We are not promised tomorrow. My heart's beating. I got about 60 beats a minute. Brother Scott, he's about 40. He runs. He's got a real healthy heart. You know, mine's 60. Every 60, listen, 1, 2, 3. at any time, it could stop beating. He's either going to say, well done, or why? But I got to make some more money. No, you don't. Prioritize before it's too late. Lift your hands all over this place. Worship the Lord. If it's a sin, repent of it. If it's a weight, lay it aside. Let us come down to these altars. Let's make our way down. Find a place to kneel and pray. Whatever it is, if you have to leave this place and begin to make a list, make you a list. The Spirit of the Lord has spoken. He loves us. He knows what's beyond the horizon. God knows. It's time to lay aside some things, ladies and gentlemen.